Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Miketz. The Torah in the first pasuk says, "Vayhi Miketz shenasayim yamim ufarei chaylim." It was at the end of 2 years, 2 years after Yosef had asked the Sar Hamashkim to please mention me to Paray, and he said it twice. So 2 years later is when he was released from prison and when the entire episode with Paray's dreams began. So the Medrash, of course, says, "Mipnei shekafal loymar teva zechartani vizkartani ne'enash be'elu shtei asharim." The reason for this einesh, this punishment that Yosef had to sit in jail for 2 years, 2 years extra, is because he was punished for every word that he said. He said first to the Sar Hamashkim, "Kiyem zechartani, please remember me to Paray. When you were released, as I'm telling you that you will be, please remember me, mention me to Paray and get me out of here." And then again he says, "Vizkartani, mention me." And that, according to Chazal, was a riboy of ishtadlos, that was too much. Yosef was on such a high madrega of bitachon that was more than he should have done. For an average person, we all have to do our level of ishtadlos. We have to do what we have to do in order to make parnasa. We have to do what we have to do to make things happen in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to engage in some form of ishtadlos, but the Beis HaLevi says that for Yosef HaTzadik, who was on such a high madrega, he did have to do ishtadlos, but the ishtadlos that he had to do was very microscopic ishtadlos. He had to do very little, and this, even the mentioning of his kartani twice, that itself was too much. It was a chisaron on Yosef's level of bitachon. And so he was punished 2 long years sitting in jail. The jails in those days were not the jails of our day and age. You have, you get to watch TV and you get good meals and you get to work out and go to college and stuff. Whatever you need, whatever they allow you to do in jail today, that wasn't what it was like. It was literally languishing in a bar. It was in a pit, and who knows what the conditions were. Yosef HaTzadik had to sit in that bar for 2 long years. Why? Just because he said two simple words. His kartani, zachartani, and because of that, the Medrash says that the dikta kadin was so great that for 2 words, he had to sit for 2 long years in jail. We find a similar concept of how powerful a word is from in the parsha by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim and he meets Paray. And Paray is very interested. He takes a great interest in Yaakov Avinu. He says, "How old are you?" Which is an unusual question. And Yaakov gives a whole pasuk about why he looks so old. He says that the days of my life have been long and they're very difficult, and that's why I didn't attain the lifespan of my father and my grandfather, because things have been so tough for me. He's giving like a whole soliloquy to Paray and explaining why he was so old, why he looked so old and why he physically was unwell. He says, "I'm really younger than I appear, but this is the tzaras that I had." And the Medrash says, it's brought in the Das HaKeinim, that Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem had very big tainus on Yaakov Avinu for doing that. And he said, "Ani melatiticha me'esav me'lavan, I rescued you from Esav, from Lavan. V'chzartu l'cha dina, and I returned to you dina. Dina, you got back as a captive. V'gam Yosef, and Yosef came back to you. And you're complaining about your life that they were short years and bitter years. Chayecha, I swear, says Hashem, by your life, shenimnin hatevais sheyesh min vayomer ad bimei migurai kach yachzru mishnaisecha shelo tichya kechaya Yitzchak avicha." That the amount of words that you use to complain about in this pasuk to Paray, which amounts to 33 words, that's how less amount of years you're going to live vis-a-vis Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived 33 years longer. Yitzchak lived until he was 180. Yaakov died when he was 147. Those 33 years were diminished, were depleted from the amount of life that Yaakov was supposed to have because he used 33 words to complain. If you look in the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a famous Sichas Musar that if you count the words, it's not really 33, it's less, but he says that you have to count also the question that Paroi had, how old are you? That's also included in the count because the fact that not only he complained about his years, but that he allowed his tzaras to get to him and to make him look more older than he was, that also was a taina against him. That's the famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What do you see from this Medrash? The Medrash is telling us a chiddush, that every single word that was uttered was another year of life that was taken away from Yaakov Avinu. You see the dikta kadin. Like we think that when we speak, our words were just schmoozing and we just can keep talking and talking and talking. Words have very major consequences, consequences beyond our ability to fathom. If we see that the fact that Yosef said two words and that got him 2 years in jail, Yaakov Avinu said 33 words. And because of that, 33 years were deducted from his life. That means a word equals a year. A year is a long time, right? A year is a long time. It's a lot of finals, midterms, shiurim, breakfast, lunches, supper. It's a lot. 33 years is a long time. A year is a long time. Every word that we utter equals a year. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's a ha'ara that I saw in a sefer, one of my favorite sefarim called Lekach Das by Rav Avram Uzban. He points out this common theme between the Medrash at the beginning of the parasha of Vayhi Mikach Nasayim Yomim, that Yosef had to be in that pit for 2 years because of that ishtadlus that he did, the ribuy ishtadlus, the extra words. 2 words equals 2 years. 33 words equal 33 years. A word equals a year. Very powerful idea. He also brings a maisa from the Chavetz Chaim, an amazing maisa. The Chavetz Chaim once was sitting and there was somebody that was asking him about an issue. He had a big machlekes with somebody and he needed to unload, to vent to the Chavetz Chaim. He had come with his friend in to see the Chavetz Chaim. His friend had to leave, step out for a little bit because he was going to the post office. He had to mail a telegram. So while this friend was went away, this person started speaking, I don't know, to the Chavetz Chaim or to somebody else, and some words of Lashon Hara started coming into the conversation. So Chavetz Chaim says, "Where did your friend go just now?" He said, "He went to the post office." He says, "What's he doing in the post office?" "He's mailing a telegram." "Why is it taking him so long to come back?" He says, "Well, I don't know if the Chavetz Chaim knows, but when you send off a telegram, you pay for every word." That's how it was. In the olden days, people had what was called a telegram. We don't have that anymore. But it was basically, they didn't have a fax machine. They didn't have email. So if, let's say, I wanted to send a letter to somebody in Eretz Yisrael, and I didn't have his number, or I didn't want to speak to him on the phone, or I didn't have a phone, whatever it was, so there would be something called a telegram. And you would go to the post office and you'd have to write out like every single word that you wanted to send to the person. But every single word you're paying, let's say you pay $1 a word. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're not going to send a whole long rambling letter. You have to count every word and you have to cross it. Okay, I don't have to say that word "and" because the person will figure it out. And then I don't have to say that word. And then you also have to put the word "stop." Right, at this, there's no periods in italics in a telegram, so you have to put the word "stop." And if you see, you can find like old telegrams of in Jewish history. Gedalia Yisrael would exchange during emergency times telegrams about ransoming Jews in Switzerland or trying to make a meeting with some senator in Washington to try to save Yiddish neshamas. So you see the telegrams, and it was like very mitzumtzum. Like they tried to like get, because it's expensive. So Chavetz Chaim says, "Don't you understand what I'm trying to say to you? If your friend is spending so much time because he understands the value of a word, every word you pay for, says you have to pay for every single word that you speak in life. There's no such thing as cheap. It might not cost you. They say talk is cheap. It's not true. People say talk is cheap. I could talk and talk and talk. It doesn't cost anything. It costs a lot. It's the most expensive commodity in the world is your words. Because if you use your words badly, Yosef used two words and he got 2 years in prison. Yaakovina, 33 words, 33 years less of Yaakovina's life. 1 minute of Yaakovina's life was worth trillions of dollars. 33 years less of Yaakovina's life, all because of every word was another year. Every word that we say, a bad word, it could really be very, very detrimental. You have to be very, very careful about our speech. We have to count our words. There's a Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says, my father, Olav Shalom, used to always say this, and I didn't know where he got it from. And then later I saw in the Archas Yesher, Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings it from the Sefer Chassidim. He says that you have to be very careful with what you say, because there's like an odometer. Every word that you say, there's a, you know, we think that our life, there's a kitzvah, that Hashem knows exactly how many years we're supposed to live. He says, not necessarily. It might be that Hashem gives you a certain amount of words to speak in life. And when you use up those words, then your life is done. This is obviously not talking about learning and tefillah, etc. But when you're using it for shmuzing and for sicha b'teila and for, and of course for lashon hara and rechilos and nivol peh and shtusim b'avolim, then you have to be very careful, because your words, every word that you're using, is depleting your life, because there's an exact count. Every person has a count. One person has 1,345,000 words to say. One person has 10 million, whatever it is. But when you use that number up, that's it. So you have to be very careful. It's better, much better, to not talk so much. Especially, of course, when the conversation is a bad conversation. But in general, it's better not to talk so much. It's better to be more on the quiet side. So many times I get calls in Shidduchim, and a mother is like, you know, calling me about a guy in yeshiva, and she's like, I heard he's very quiet. Is that true? I said, yeah, that's a good thing. You want a blabbermouth for a son-in-law? You want a son-in-law just keeps talking and talking and talking, doesn't stop, and just keep, he has no filter? Obviously, it has to be somewhat normal. A person has to be able to make normal conversation, but you don't want a person that just talks and talks and talks. If you keep talking, you're going to get yourself into trouble. The Chazon Ish used to say that I never regretted something that I didn't say. A lot of times I regret things that I do say. You know, you say something to your wife and you say, oh, why did I say that? So why did I have to open my mouth, right? You say something to your friend, you say something to your Rebbe, and like afterwards you're like, that was really bad that I said that. But when you don't say something, sometimes you're tempted to say something, you stop yourself. You never walk away like a few minutes later and say, shoot, I should have said that, I should have said that shtach, I should have said that joke. If you didn't say it, it's not the end of the world. You never regret something that you don't say. So it's far better to be more stingy with your words than too overindulgent with your words. You don't want to speak too much. You want to be a person that's normal. You speak nicely. You're sitting at a Shabbos table. You're talking. You're conversant. But at the same time, you're not just talking, and you're not that guy that's always talking and always speaking. And you know, those type of people get themselves into trouble. Now, up until now, this morning, we've been speaking about the bad things that we're speaking about, right? Bad things, lashon hara, ariboy v'shtadlus, things that are speaking negatively. Yaakov Avinu complaining about the quality of his life, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took as an insult, because I gave you a good life. That's and we see there how powerful a word is. Now let's switch gears a little bit, because we don't want to leave off on a. We know that we all pretty much know the power of lashon hara, how bad it is, how deadly it is, and we've spoken about that many, many times. But the takeaway that I want to leave you with today, besides for yes, when it comes to bad things, we have to try to learn to limit our talk. But let's focus on the positive a little bit. We know that there's a rule that mida teiva meruba meruba peronius, that a good thing is much more powerful than a bad thing. If I just taught you a lesson about the power of a bad word, you should know that the power of a good word is many more times as strong. The Gemara says it's 500 times as strong. So whatever we're saying, that one bad word equals a year of life, 1 year of complaint, of Lashon Hara, whatever it is that we're doing bad equals 1 year, a good word is worth, let's say, 500 years of goodness. Every positive thing that we say is so powerful. If a bad word is powerful in a negative way and it could really do us in, a good word is amazingly powerful. The power of one word, of a single word. There's an amazing thing that the Altifin Slabotka used to say. I'm sorry, the Altifin Kelim used to say the following. He says every individual is so important that it will be worthwhile for Hashem to create the whole world for 6,000 years, which is how long the world is supposed to last, to have just one Jew saying one Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemai in his lifetime. Sometimes we're not so makbid on saying Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemai. It's kedai, says the Alter Ben Kalem, and he had a Messiah for this, to have an entire world built, this entire planet, with all the major cities in the planet, the Manhattan and London and Paris and Moscow and Berlin and all the big and all the small cities and all the hamlets and all the little villages, spotting the entire globe. It's kedai, with all the trillions of people that have walked this planet, it's kedai just to have all of that for one yid that says one time in his life, Baruch Hu uBaruch Shemai. But then he continues. He says, and every Amen that we say is worth 1,000-fold more. So as powerful as the Baruch Hu uBaruch Shemai is, one Amen is 1,000 times that. That means 1,000 worlds, 1,000 universes. Every time I say the word Amen, how many times do we say Amen every single day? If I would make a shahakal, you say Amen. The entire world and 1,000 worlds, I just justified. It was vindicated just for that one Amen. That's why some people, when they put on their tefillin, they make the loud bracha, and you think, like, this guy is annoying me. Like, why is he doing that? Right? Because he's giving you a zchus to answer Amen, and that Amen is worth the entire universe. You have to make sure to answer Amen. Guys, by a Kriyas HaTorah, by the Aliyas to the Torah, by every opportunity that you have to answer Amen, you know, sometimes we're in a rush. And so it's not like we have a plane to catch or some emergency thing. We're just like a little bit like, want to go back to the dorm a little bit. So we miss a Kaddish. Missing a Kaddish, you know, for no good reason. We're just like lazy. Every word, every Amen is an opportunity to have a billion years of world existence, and we're just like throwing it away. That's one Amen. But let's go further. One Yehei Shmei Rabba. Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba is like, whoa, that's already like a different league. Yehei Shmei Rabba, we know, is tremendously powerful. That's like 1,000 times answering Amen. Now the math gets really like wacky, right? It's 1,000 times 1,000 is what, 1,000,000? Is it? Yeah, I think so, right? 1,000 times 1,000, 1,000,000. So it's 1,000,000 universes every time you say Yehei Shmei Rabba. But then he says, and this is really scary, that one word of Torah is worth 1,000 of that. One word of Torah. So now how much is 1,000,000 times 1,000 times 1,000,000 is 1,000,000,000? Literally 1,000,000,000. So if you have one word of Torah, right now, how many words am I saying a sentence? I'm saying, and we're all, when I'm saying it, it's Shemaya Kaina, you're all saying it. So every single word of Torah that I said, even the word A, even the word the, is 1,000,000,000 worlds. 1,000,000,000 worlds. We don't understand the power of what we have when we're learning Torah. We don't understand the gift that, if let's say I would tell you that every word of Torah in real life, every word of Torah that you learn, I will give you $1,000,000. Just very simple. It's worth much, much more than that. But just for us to like have a little comprehension, let's not even use 1,000,000. Let's say I would say $10,000 a word. Could you imagine the hasmada in the yeshiva? Can you imagine? We wouldn't stop. We would be there first of all on time for first Seder. We would be there on time for night Seder. We wouldn't leave until the end. We wouldn't just callously walk out and like schmooze in the pantry or in the hallway or just like make random phone calls, because we understand that every word is $10,000. It's really $1 trillion. But I don't want to really freak us out. But if it's $10,000, I think we can understand maybe a little bit. If it's $10,000, I'm not wasting that. I'm not wasting it. And if I do waste it, it has to be something that's really worth wasting on. It's like somebody once told me that, I'm on a diet, so I'm trying to watch what I'm eating. So whatever I do eat, it better be worth it. Meaning, if I'm going to eat, I will cheat sometimes in my diet, but I'm not cheating unless it's like a sufganiya with from a really fancy place, like the $15 5 pounds donuts, like with custard, with strawberry bitter. That I'll cheat on, but I'm not going to do it for a regular, just a regular stama, one of the reprocessed donuts. That I'm not going to do it on. I'll have a steak, but I'm not going to have I'm not going to waste it on a piece of on a bag of potato chips. That's how it is. If you're going to waste tyra, fine, but make sure that it's something that you really want to do it on. It has to be really kedai. What's kedai? It's kedai to spend time with your family. It's kedai to, to play some ball, to get some exercise. It's kedai to do things that are normal in life, to spend time with friends. But it's not kedai just to play a video game all night. That's not kedai. It's not kedai to endlessly search on the internet for everything and anything. That's not kedai. We can't get neurotic from what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we have to oh my gosh, we have to be normal people. But you have to understand that Torah is so chashuv that every word of Torah is priceless. And in Shamayim, if one bad word is a year, then every good word of Torah is millennium. It's nitzchius. It's forever. One word. I'm not talking about giving a shir klali and preparing just one word of Torah. You open up a chumash, you're on the bus, you're on a plane, you open up, you take out a chumash, you're maver sedra, you're racking up countless words. You're sitting by a chasna. I always tell everybody, by a chasna. You're going to a chasna, plan ahead. Photocopy. I don't think that it's appropriate to bring an Eiz V'Hadr Gemara to a chasna. I think it's showy. It's it's not nice. It makes everybody at the table feel like garbage. But you photocopy the Gemara that you're learning. Or if you're doing the daf, you focus. Or you photocopy, a Rambam. Whatever you're working on. A few pages, you fold it up, you put it in your pocket, and by the chuppah, no one's looking, you take it out. And after the chuppah is over, you have literally an hour and a half before the chassan comes out to dance. You want to have an appetizer, go get an appetizer, and go to a side room and learn a little bit. Because just to waste your time schmoozing with some random people on your table, you don't enjoy the conversation anyway. It's all forced conversation for the most part. You're not getting anything major out of it. You're not doing any major business deals out of it. So just take a safer and learn. You're going to a doctor's office. You know you're going to have time to learn. You're going to have a lot of time wasted in the doctor's. The doctor, so chashuv, he'll never take you on time. You have to be there on time. They're very upset if you come there late. But then you have to sit. My father used to say, hurry up and wait. You got to hurry up to the doctor and then just sit there and wait for 2 hours. Those 2 hours, what are you doing at the diner? An hour, what are you doing there? You're going on your phone and this and that. Take a safer along. Take a bunches farm along. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I know every time he goes to a doctor's office, he brings his briefcase with his farm and he's learning. There's no reason not to. No reason. A doctor's office is not going to hurt anybody's feelings if you're taking out your Ezra de Gemara. You're on a plane, you learn. If you have opportunity to learn, you have to learn. Not because it's the from thing, because you're a fool if you don't. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a semel of Shalom Bayis, and he, no one knew Torah and loved Torah more than he did, but he would, he'd basically go on a vacation with his wife. You wonder, what do Rav Moshe Feinstein's vacations look like? What did he do on vacation? So he would go, to New Hampshire, and his wife and him would take a walk, and they would see nature, and he would have a sefer like this, and his wife understood who she was married to. And then if she would start talking to him and saying, look at that bird over here, he would shut his sefer, look at it, acknowledge it, talk about it a little bit, and then there was quiet, and then he would open up his sefer again and learn. That's an extreme, but that's Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're not Rav Moshe Feinstein. But the point is that you have to go on vacations, you have to spend time with your family, you have to do things that are normal, but you have to understand that every word of Torah is so chashuv, every amen is chashuv. So I'm going to daven be yechidus tonight. And I know sometimes, like, you know, it's cold out and it's already late and you came back, and okay, but you're missing out, again, not to get neurotic, but it's so chashuv to daven tefillah b'tzibur, not just because it's tefillah b'tzibur, but it gives you opportunities to say baruch hu, baruch hu v'ruch shemai, amen yesh merabu. Why is that so chashuv? Because it's olamos. Every word that every opportunity we have in tefillah b'tzibur to say a baruch hu, to say amen, to say to hear a kaddish, a kedusha, is nitzchias, it's eternity. Tell you something else, an amazing thing. Unbelievable. The Lev Elio, the Rav Elio Lapian, who we're learning about his Torah on Tuesday nights, the Vad, so he says something incredible. He says the Chafetz Chaim, he once heard from the Chafetz Chaim say the following thing, that we know, what's the schar of Talmud Torah? Like, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu gauge Talmud Torah? So there's in Shneis Elio, one of the Svarim of the Vilna Gaon, he writes that it's every word. When we're trying to evaluate how is it an hour of Torah, is it a minute of Torah, is it a sentence? No, it's a word of Torah. Every word is another mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is what the Gaon says. Listen to what the Chafetz Chaim says, if you really want to get neurotic. The Chafetz Chaim says that on Shabbos, we know that Shabbos is Keneged Kulam. Shabbos is, well, let's start a little bit before. Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. Talmud Torah is equivalent to all of the Tarag mitzvahs. So he says every word of Torah is like 613 mitzvahs. Shabbos is Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs, which means that every word that you say on Shabbos, that you learn on Shabbos, is 613 mitzvahs times 613 mitzvahs. Who has a calculator? What's 613 times 613? Taking too long. What?
375,769.
Okay, 375,000 mitzvahs per word. Per word. This is the Chafetz Chaim. This is not me making this up. This is the Chafetz Chaim saying it's every word of Torah on Shabbos and maybe Yontif that you learn is 375 plus thousand words mitzvahs of the Torah. We work very hard to do a mitzvah. You know, matzahs, people spend, you know, $25 a pound to eat a little matzah. Here you're getting 375,000 matzahs for every, not an hour of learning, that's crazy, right? An hour of learning on Shabbos. Not a minute of learning, a word of learning. A word of learning on Shabbos is worth 375,000 mitzvahs. Can you imagine that? Just think about that a second. Every mitzvah is nitzchis. The hanav, any mitzvah in the Torah, we've spoken about this also in the past, is worth all the pleasures, the cumulative pleasures of the world. So what I'm trying to say to you is not to get crazy. I know that there are people that are going to get crazy from what I'm saying. They're going to like run down to the Spanish now and learn, and I'm splitting the sky with you if you do that, by the way. But the point is that, yes, we have to do things in life. We have to go to college, and we have to spend time with our family, and we have to be nice at the Shabbos table, and be chilled, and be normal. Normal. That's the first. Hashem wants us to do that more than racking up all these points. But when we are not doing the things that we have to do, then it's so important to focus on our learning and our tefillos and on saying a nice word to somebody. That's also a word, any word. If I say good morning to you, that's worth, you know, that's years and years of nitzchias. If I say I like your tie, great haircut, you know, wow, is that a new suit? You look great in it. Those are simple things that we're saying. It's nice things that we're saying. Those words, every word, is a crazy amount of schar that you're getting for that. Not just schar in shamayim, schar in this world. It accrues to you. It makes you a better person. It fixes your midas. When you don't say something, you're a genius. If the less you speak about, you're avoiding so much einish. But when you do say things that are positive and you filter before you say it and make sure that it's going to come out the right way and that you mean it and that it's genuine and that it's going to the audience is going to appreciate what you're saying, it's the words that we have is the most valuable commodities. Talk is not cheap. Talk is priceless. And a person has to really focus. On our words, on maximizing the power of our words in Torah, in tefillah, in saying nice things to people. There's a great var. I don't know if it was mine I heard somebody else say it also. When we tonight in Magen Avos, try to think about this. When we say Magen Avos Pidvaray, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the protector of the forefathers. Pidvaray Mechaye Mesim Ma'amarim. He's Mechaye Mesim Ma'amarim with his speech. He's Mechaye Mesim. And I think that's not only the Rabbeinu Shalom. We do that also. We're able to literally be Mechaye Mesim with a word. With a word. A person is depressed. A person's not feeling. I go over to you. I see you're not in a good mood. And I say to you, what's wrong? Talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. Or I see somebody's not so happy and I say, you know, wow, you did a, you know, beautiful davening this morning. Great hallel. Great, I loved your Dvar Torah on Shabbos. Amazing. Did you think of that yourself? And then, you don't know what you do to people. You're Mechaye Meis Ma'amar with our words. We have the ability to really literally bring people from death to life. We revive a person's neshama. So many times people are walking around living dead. They have no life. They have no, you know why? Because their parents never compliment them. Their friends never compliment. They're famished for attention. They're famished for a little kavod, for a compliment. Some people get a lot of kavod. Some people get no kavod. And they're chalishing for it. They need it. We need kavod. That's the basic, you know, diet of humanity. A neshama needs a little acclaim, a little thank you, a little appreciation. And when you give that to somebody, you're literally reviving the person. You don't know how much life it gives them. It's able to resuscitate a person, make a person feel whole, make a person able to like do well in school, make a person be able to do well to get married and to have a nice family and to get a job and to keep a job because you gave them that oomph, you gave them that confidence. It's so easy. That type of word is easy. And if we do it, we're geniuses. We're literally like tycoons of Eilam Haba. We have the ability to rack up billions of, while everyone else is busy schmoozing, we have the ability to rack up trillions and trillions of dollars in Torah, in Tefillah, on Shabbos learning, on Yontif learning, and speaking nicely to people and avoiding bad talk. I want to just end with one beautiful story, because it is Chanukah. This is the last day of Chanukah. And it's called, everyone calls today, Zeis Chanukah. This is the day of Zeis Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah. Why do we call it that? Because we just lained this morning, Zeis Chanukah Samizbeach, Yimashach, I say. So it's called Zeis Chanukah. So there's a story that's told about the great Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. Shmuel Birnbaum was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. And he was a fire. He was a living fire of Torah. If there's one, you know, every gadol maybe you attribute a different thing to. Some people might say he's a tzaddik. One person says he's makbid on lashon hara. One person, Shmuel Birnbaum, there's one word to describe him, and that's Torah. He was Torah, pure Torah. All he wanted to do all day was learn Torah. And he learned in yeshiva. Very rare for Rosh Yeshivas to be in yeshiva first seder, second seder, night seder, after night. That was him. He was mamish in yeshiva day. And there's a lot of stories. There's a whole biography about him if you want to learn more about him. But there's a million stories that are told about his Torah. But it bothered him very much on Chanukah that second seder people left early to light their neiros. Now they might be doing it kalacha, and that's okay. But it just bothered them that on Yontif of Chanukah, which is a Yontif of Nitzachin, of the of Torah, of Zaydin Biad Eiske Sarasecha, Chanukah should be the time that we really learn the most. And yet, ironically, It's the time that generally, you know, in yeshivas that they have a full second Seder, people cut out of second Seder, and they leave early to light bizman and whatever, davening mincha, it's and then they go to Chanukah party. It should be a time that we're the biggest masmidim, but that's the way for whatever reason, that's the way it is. Okay. So the Rav Shmuel Birnbaum was bothered, like every day come a second Seder, every day of Chanukah, it's Shvach, people are running out, they're here, they're getting their neighbors. The last day of Chanukah, of course, it's not applicable this year because it's Friday, but let's say it was Thursday. So it was the last day of Chanukah, and guys were not running anywhere because there's no menorah to light the last night of Chanukah, right? It was the night before that we lit 8 candles. This goes, we just can learn straight. And the Beis Medrash was back to being geschmack and robust and full and full of pulsating with life as the Beis Medrash should be. And Rav Shmuel Birnbaum comes into the Beis Medrash and he sees it's packed and it's loud and he says, "Zeis Chanukah. This is Chanukah. You want to know what Chanukah? This is Chanukah. Chanukah is when we have the ability to really learn. That's what Chanukah is all. You want to know what Chanukah is all about? Zeis Chanukah. Take a look at the last day of Chanukah." And that's really, I think, what the takeaway from Chanukah is. We want to take some tzedel adarach. We want to take something away from Chanukah and take it with us throughout the winter. And it's a long zman. There's 2 adars. But until Chanukah, until let's say Purim Pesach time, what are we going to do? What should be our mission statement? What does Chanukah want from us? What should be the final request of Chanukah? It's this. It's remember the power of Zeis Chanukah. Remember, understand that Torah reigns supreme, that all we have in this galus, we have nothing else but Torah. We really don't. Ein lanu shir akatayra, since the Churban, the only vestige of Kedusha that we have is our Torah. And so we are lucky, we are so fortunate to be in a yeshiva. Some people are unfortunate to be in yeshiva. They're fighting in a war right now in Gaza, or they have to leave yeshiva early for whatever reason. They didn't have the ability to stay in learning. Maybe their parents didn't want them to, or they couldn't support them, or things happen. Not everybody could stay in learning. If we're in yeshiva, even one day. Every day, wake up and say, Maidani, jump out of bed and come here for davening. Davening should never be shvach in yeshiva. We're b'nei Torah. We're better than that. We don't have to give in to every word of davening. Every word is nitzchias. It's $10,000. It's $10 billion. But that's a number we don't... $10,000 a word of davening. $100,000 an amen. A yesh me rabba is $400,000. Would you miss that? Would you miss $400,000? No. The basement would be packed. If we give out donuts, people come. So why shouldn't people come if they understand that every word of Torah is trillions and trillions of dollars? The answer is they didn't come to the shmuz today, so they don't know it. But if they would have come to the shmuz, they would know this. If the words of Yosef, the words of Yaakovino that were understood in a negative light, whatever that means, to speak about the Avos HaKadoshim, and the punishment was so severe, it's a year per word. The great words that we say are hundreds of years per word. Remember when I'm saying a word. A word is so cheap. It's nothing. It's a word. The word A. It's one letter. That is worth a trillion years, $1 trillion, whatever you want. We have to really, really take from Chanukah this winter. Stay in the Beis Medrash. I'm talking to myself probably more than anybody. Just stay in the Beis Medrash. Sit, open up a sefer. Just learn. Just learn. When you have to do other things, do other things. But when you're learning, learn. Chaparayim, because you're a fool if you don't. If you would know that somebody is offered $100,000, to run around the block, every time runs around the block, and the guy runs around a little bit, and then he takes a break, and he's checking his phone. You're a fool. Somebody promised you $100,000 every time you run around the block for the next hour, and you're wasting time on a phone. That person's obviously foolish, right? I don't think anyone would argue. There's nothing as important as running around the block right now. That's your avodah. Do it. There's nothing more important than us coming to davening every day, coming to Seder every day, learning into the wee hours of the night when we can. Not finals. Not, I always have to give these disclaimers. I don't know why I do that. But you know, there's nothing more. Learn until 3 o'clock in the morning. If you can get up for davening and be a mensch the next day, then figure out how we could stay up in bed and watch our phones until 3 o'clock. So why can't we stay up and learn? Is there anything more beautiful? And on these long Friday nights in the winter, Shabbos starts at like 4 o'clock. By the time you finish the meal, like, you look at the clock, is it 5:30? Like, you know, ridiculous. What are you doing now? I got to go catch a bagel. Got to sleep a bagel. I don't know if anyone knows, is yeshivish enough to know what that means, but it means, like, if you sleep around the clock, you go to sleep at 7 at night, you wake up 7 in the morning, kavayacha, like. So that's more important. Stay up. Get a chavrusa or sit by yourself, be maver sedra, learn some mishnayos, learn gemara, and stay up till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And if you're tired, do what they did in Europe. They would go to sleep right after the meal. They'd wake up at 12 o'clock at night, and then you would learn from 12 to davening. Not the end of the world either. It's doable. Or learn from 12 to 4 and then go to sleep for a couple more hours. These are, every word of Shabbos is so precious. It's what do we say, 375,000 bitzes per word? Whoever doesn't do that is a fool. I'm sorry. And I'm talking to myself. I'm the biggest fool. Okay? I'll be the first to stand online. But we're all fools every time we waste time. Now, again, I have to reiterate, it doesn't mean to make us crazy. But it means that when we're learning, learn. And it should galvanize us. It should pull us to the base matters. Because besides for the schar, there's nothing more geschmack than the neshama feels than Talmud Torah. We know that. So it's good in this world. It's good in the moment also. But if we just wanted to speak about it purely from a schar v'ayner standpoint, from a financially sound standpoint, there is no greater investment that we could do, that we could make, than just sitting and learning. Sitting in this world and the next world, coming to davening, Yehi Shmei Rabbis, Kedusha, nice words. The power of a single word is Ayem V'Naira. It's frightening almost. Not almost. It is frightening beyond how much every word that we say costs and how much we can earn if we use them correctly. Everybody say, have a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos.